Still dealing with wisdom, insight, peace, prosperity, and abundance. Whipper. I don't know if this message ever ends. But the way it's making me dig and what it's making me look at is challenging. It's exciting. As I said a couple of weeks ago, wisdom, it confronts, it's confrontational. Not necessarily in a bad way, but sometimes, and definitely in a challenging way, wisdom reveals to you what you don't know. In order for wisdom to tell you what you're doing right, wisdom reveals to you what you're doing wrong. In the New Testament, it says Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. And as I study the Proverbs, I begin to see as it describes wisdom, especially in Proverbs 8, I, wisdom, was there from the beginning. And then you go to the book of Hebrews and it says, Christ says, I was there with him from the beginning and nothing that was made was not made without me or him, without him. But it's showing me that Christ and wisdom are synonymous, or Jesus and wisdom. So let's take this for a minute. Jesus is the wisdom of God and the power of God. Now, I didn't plan to quote that scripture, so if somebody want to look that up for me, feel free to do so. I would like to get people online the verse. So I'm looking at it like this now. If Jesus is the wisdom and the power of God, he was there in the beginning. Nothing that was made without him. How many agree with that, that that's the truth? You believe, you got enough Jesus in you to know that Jesus. There's a reason why I'm bringing this up as a point. You have it, Rhonda? 1 Corinthians 1:24. Thank you. I may go to it later. But I come to a realization recently that I think I may have come to before, but just in a different level. So let me just lay this out. How many of you have got revelation from a scripture or from the word of God or from a word spoken to you by God or just something you heard that you said, yeah, I get that. And then God reintroduced it to you later. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow. Yeah. It, like what I thought it meant all this time. Now, because of where I am or where I may have grown or something else I may have learned in my walk, it has changed the definition or the meaning of that scripture to me in a whole different level. Okay, case in point. I'll throw one out that we are familiar with. Give and it should be given unto you. Now, every time I heard a pastor talk about that, it was offering time. So it meant money. And that meant when they quoted that scripture, they was going to get an offering. And some churches, I heard it so many times in one service that I was just like, oh, God, here comes giving that should be given unto you. But then this happened. I was dealing with somebody that was not being kind to me on a job. And I went before the Lord about it, and I was bothered. And I said, Lord, he didn't show me kindness. He didn't show me favor. And your word said I should have favor. And the Lord spoke to me, give, and it should be given unto you. And it shook me to my core because God was saying, you're demanding favor, but you don't sow it. You're asking people to treat you right, but you're not even sowing right treatment to other people. How do you treat that person? Well, I said in my mind, I treat him with contempt. And then I did the child thing, but he started it. And God said, I'm not responsible for what he started. I'm responsible for what you sow. Amen. You're the believer. I'm holding you to what you sow. So you can't come to me and ask for favor if you're not sowing favor. New revelation. All of a sudden, I start to look at everything I do as seed. as given, it should be given unto you. How impatient are you toward people? Well, you can't be upset when people are impatient toward you. How frustrated do you get when you're driving? How many fingers do you throw up? The biggest thing for me was, when I came to that realization, I started doing this when I was driving. When I saw people trying to get in, I would stop and I would signal them, get in. And Angela would shoot up so that they wouldn't get in front of her. Now, talking about her, but I would notice that when we were trying to merge in, people kept cutting up and not letting her in. But if I was driving, people would signal me in. And it's because I was sowing that. You don't want to have this conversation with me? I'm talking about our behavior in a very real sense of the word. Everything we do is seed. Scripture said you should reap what you sow. It didn't say money. It said what you sow. So the question comes to, what do we sow? So a lot of times we sow out of a lack of understanding. We don't know what we're sowing. We don't know what we sow for. There's a good part to that. There's a lot of good that you've done that you don't think is harvest worthy. I've seen people sing in the choir, serve in the church or their life, do all this kind of stuff. And they would say, I wonder when God going to bless me. And I would say, have you claimed a harvest on what you sow? I'm always helping people, but I never have nobody there when I need help. Have you claimed a harvest on what you sow? No, because you haven't even considered it a seed. So because you haven't considered it a seed, it was a burden that you took on, but you didn't consider it a seed, so you didn't sow it. So I had a conversation not too long ago with someone who was always trying to help me out. And I said to them, is this a seed or are you repaying a debt? Because if you're repaying a debt, there's no harvest. If you feel like you're trying to be good to me because I've been good to you, so you feel like you owe me, there's no harvest if it's a debt. You just paid off a debt. But if you're sowing a seed from your heart, I don't feel you owe me anything. God says, owe no man anything but to love him. So are you sowing a seed or are you paying a debt? Is this helpful? Is this helpful, people online? Because it's important that we understand seed time and harvest is a very powerful thing. And the scripture said, as long as there's heaven and earth, seed time and harvest shall not fail. So we should not treat revelation or insight to the next level of what we already know so lightly. Everything we do is seed. Everything we do is seed. Everything we do is seed. So I can give you a few minutes to meditate on what's going good in your life and what's not going so good, and you can figure out, if you be honest with yourself, where you sowed it. Sometimes you sow it in your expectation, in the words out of your mouth. Well, people don't ever treat me right. Well, that's what you're speaking. That's what you're speaking. Well, then that's what you're going to get. I went through a phase, I do so much, you know. That's the thing pastors could get caught up in real quick if they don't watch themselves. You know, I'm always there for everybody, and who's there for me? And I'm always helping, and ain't nobody there to help me. And God said, you know, we could get a lot more done if you stop saying that. Why don't you start saying, I'm there for everybody, and I believe it. Everybody's there for me when I need them. And when I start saying that, that became a truth. I never say anymore that I don't have people to help me. I do, all the time. But whenever I do help, it's a seed I sow towards somebody else. And I expect the harvest. So now let me get back to this revelations versus what we knew versus what God now shows us and we can learn from. So now I'm about to take the conversation onto a whole different road, but it still comes together, but I want you to understand this. So my revelation of Jesus, my whole life, see, you think I go off into a different thing and I forgot where I was. Never. Was Jesus is the Son of God. Or Jesus is God came in the flesh. And these are the things that we know. Jesus is the Savior. All those things are true. But they're limiting. Jesus as the Son of God, Jesus as the Savior, these are all semi-personal understandings that don't affect our everyday lives, if you be honest about it. Savior means when I die, I'm going to heaven. Son of God means he's God's son, and we know that. God who came to earth means it was God who was here, and now he's not. Am I speaking the truth right now? We don't want to have this real conversation, but it's true. When we start to look at how we see God, we start to realize he has a limited capacity because most of his work is supernatural and beyond us, and it's not personal and with us. It's not an everyday thing. It's not right there when I want it. You're getting me? Let's talk about it a minute. You got a husband, got a wife, got a mate, got a good friend. They're there. I mean, if you got a good one, you know. They're there. You know where they are when you need them. Penny just say, Shell! And if he in the house, he gonna say yes. Rhonda and Mike, am I right? Those of you who call me up and bug me all the time, am I right? You're a no. If I don't answer the phone, you'll start saying, what's wrong? Is something wrong? I start getting text messages. Are you okay? I called you 3 times. I want to be left alone. I got to say it. Yes, I don't want to talk. I'll send a thing, call you back in 10 minutes, you know, the auto response, and then 10 minutes the phone ring again. I said, I'll call you in 10 minutes. Well, it was over 10 minutes. What's my point? A personal relationship is somebody that you can reach to and touch them at any time and know where they are. And if they're not there, you want to know why they're not. We don't see God like that. Are you with me so far? So then we need to question how personal our relationship is with God. God should respond faster than Shell does, Penny. He should be more dependable than Mike, Rhonda. He should answer your text right away, those of you who keep texting me. You getting it? Am I going there? So I had to take Jesus out of this category of spiritual, far away, somewhere out there, over the rainbow. I know you hear me, probably from a distance. You may respond, you may not. You know, it all depends. Maybe I didn't say it at the right pitch, or I wasn't in the best of spirits when I said it. And all these reasons we come up with to make God a stranger. The title of today's message is God's Not a Stranger. He doesn't want to be a stranger. He doesn't want to be distant and far away. We treat him that way, and this is the access we give him by our own faith. And behold, it shall come to pass that before you call, I've answered. So I said, I have to come to this revelation, going back to my very first statement, Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God, then Jesus is not just the guy who came and walked the earth and died for my sins and hung on the cross and went back up there hanging out with God on the beautiful streets of gold. And I'll check my messages when I get a chance. I know I'm getting a lot of emails and texts right now, and I'm gonna get to yours. But you, there's a waiting list. There's people in front of you. They prayed a little harder and a little faster and a little longer and lived a little righter. And so am I lying in what I'm saying right here? Am I talking about the church for real? Yes. Am I talking about us for real? Yes. I don't hear you.
Yes.
God doesn't want to be a stranger. He's not a stranger. And he's not distant. And so when I saw Jesus Christ, the wisdom and the power of God, I said, wait a minute. You just took Jesus outside of the Savior and gave him a function. You took him outside of just being the Savior and gave him a real function. He got a real job title. If you say Jesus is the Savior, what's his function? To save you. So unless you need to be saved, he's nowhere to be found. So you got to get deep, deep, deep in your mess. And then you say, save me, Lord. And then here he come. After he gets, you know, around to some of his other stuff. And he may not get there. He may not be there when you want him, but he's right on time. Ain't that what the church been teaching for years? It ain't in the Bible anywhere, but that scripture, that's it ain't the scripture, but that's what the church has said. He works in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. You never know what God's going to do. He might help you, he might not. You may not get what you want. But sometime you get what you need. Some of you don't even know that song. But that's an old Rolling Stone song. You may not get what you want, but sometime you might find you get what you need. That's church. That's what they teach about God. He's a stranger. You don't know how he's going to respond. You don't know what he's going to do. Wow. Those of you who know me, I ain't even married to you. You know what I'm going to respond well to and what I'm not going to respond to. You know what you're going to get and you know what you're not going to get. But God's a stranger. You don't know what he's going to do. So let's go back to the statement. Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God, that awakened something in me in the past week. I said, you just gave him a function, a title beyond just the Savior when I die, and the answer to my prayer sometime. Are you paying attention to me today? If Jesus is the wisdom of God, No. It didn't say Jesus has some of God's wisdom. It didn't say Jesus can get you some wisdom. He said he is the wisdom of God and the power of God. So wait a minute. When I'm asking God for his power in my life, I'm actually asking for Jesus. And if I'm asking God for his wisdom, Jesus is the wisdom of God, I'm asking him for Jesus. Are you with that or did I lose you? But wait a minute, I thought I already had Jesus. I thought I was already born again, filled with his spirit, and have Jesus. So then I have the wisdom and power of God. But because I don't acknowledge it, I have to ask for it as if it has to be shipped to me via UPS or FedEx and wait for it to arrive so that I can know what to do. Because there's a process involved, because you may call him and he may be there, and now they give you the tracking thing so you can see where your Amazon package is 3 stops away. And I looked at mine of the other day and it said 1 stop away, and it still took him 2.5 hours to get here. And I'm like, it said you right up the block.
So I can't even depend on you. Even with a GPS. So why can't I look into my spirit and know exactly where God is? And when I look into my spirit, if I've done it right, you know where I find him? Right here already. You have not because you ask not. Ask that you might receive. Seek and you might find. Knock and the doors might be open sometime. Will be. You understand this, but you don't understand this. God's not a stranger. He doesn't desire to be distant. He doesn't desire to be off somewhere when you have to, in times of anything, go hunt for him. But through religion, we've created a scenario where God has to function like he's a UPS driver. So let's take this now. What do we serve then? Or who do we serve? Because if the Jesus you serve is not the wisdom or the power of God, then are you serving a counterfeit Jesus? God had me say this to somebody a long time ago, and it was a very hard thing to say to them. And it spoke to me. I never forget them. They were complaining about this husband they wanted, and the person wouldn't marry them, and they were so upset. And God had me say to her, she doesn't know me. And I was like, yeah, I don't think this is a good time to say something like that. She's really, really, really upset and emotional right now. And telling her she don't know you, I don't think it's really going to help the situation. You know, sometimes I have to have these conversations with God. God, don't think that's a good idea. I mean, another day maybe, but not right now. And God said, tell her she doesn't know me. And I took a deep breath. And I said, before I said to God, but you see how she worships and she prays. And I mean, when she sings to you, oh my goodness, she just, all her heart and soul comes out of her ears and eyes. She loves you. I know, like, you can't get no more Christian than this. And God said to me for the last time, tell her she doesn't know me. So, took a deep breath, and I said it. And I got the response that I told me, oh, how could you say that? Oh, my God. It just, then the waterworks really came on. And then it went from tears to anger. All of a sudden, it's like, I can't believe you would say something like this to me. I'm like, okay, God, you put me in this. You got to get me up out of this. How could you say that? I said, because God just told me to tell you that. Why don't you ask why he said it? She said, well, God, I want to know why you said it. And just that quick, the words came to me. You recreated me in your own image, in your own likeness. You have a facsimile. You took a picture, you scanned it of me, and then you drew your own features on it, and you call it God, but it's not me. You took the full scriptural description and you had an artist rendition of it, and then you drew your features onto it, and then you submitted it as God, but it's not me. You don't serve me. You serve the recreation of me. How do I know if I did that or not? I'm going to tell you right now, and those of you online,
If it's not working, it's not God. If it's not working, it's not God. If he's not supplying all your needs according to his riches and glory, if he wasn't wounded for your transgression, bruised for your iniquities, the chastisement of your peace is upon him, and by his stripes you are healed, were healed and made whole, it's not him. It's a nice picture. It's a close facsimile, but it's not him. But he moved for me, okay. He's merciful. And his kindness will lead you to repentance. As the scripture says it, but you're still not serving him. And God said this to me to say to her, I created you in my image. Don't return the favor. And I never forgot that. So from this day and from that day on, I always sought God to say, God, help me know you in your image, not in the image that I create day by day as I go along. As I struggle with something and I can't overcome it, I say, well, I'm going to just write you in right here. I'm just going to redraw your features right here a little bit. All right, we don't want to have this conversation here. Yeah. This got real serious. Everybody's face got real tight. I made a mistake. I did something wrong. So God can't possibly love me like that. So I'm going to redraw his features. A little bit different. Yeah. I failed him. So if I feel so bad and miserable and put myself down enough, and now you just redrew his features one more time. So you just made him beyond forgiving. You made him beyond mercy. You made him beyond love. You made him beyond everything. You just kept drawing this thing till it got uglier and uglier, and now you worship it, but it's not God. So, I've been on a journey to get back home. I've been on a journey to get back home. Proverbs chapter 2. Let's bring it on home for today. Proverbs chapter 2. My child, if you accept my words and store up my commandments within you. If you accept my word and store up my commandment within you, turning your ear to Christ or to wisdom, and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out to insight, do you see all the words that God gave me to stand on? Wisdom, insight. You see this? And cry aloud for understanding. And if you look for it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the reverence of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. How do you get wisdom? How do you get wisdom? What, no, be more specific. How do you get wisdom? The Lord gives it. Did you hear that? The Lord gives it. You've been looking for it like you got to find it in some treasure somewhere and praying hard and fasting this and trying to beg God and pry it out of his hands when the Lord gives it. Are you listening to me? You don't search for wisdom. The Lord gives it. Let me see if I can help you. Ready? For God so loved the world that he wisdom. Jesus is the wisdom of God and the power of God. God so loves you that he gives wisdom.
Amen.
If that bless you, say it. Good. Hallelujah. Amen. Something. I know I got you thinking. I see your minds is like just smoke coming out your ears. I see it. I know this is one of those messages just got you real quiet. But I just want to make sure you're here. God so loved the world that he gave. Everything that God has for you, he gives. Stop trying to fight for it or put it off in this distant, strange place. God freely gives. If you lack wisdom, how many of you feel like I could use some wisdom right about now? That's everybody in the place. Guess what? He's giving it. All you got to do is take it. No, no, I need you to say it. Say it's mine,
for the taking.
If I lack wisdom and God gives it, I just need to receive it. So, Lord, right now, I receive what you gave me when I accepted Christ. Throw in whatever date you want to throw in there.
Amen. Amen.
It's yours. So I'm not treating wisdom anymore like it's this Easter egg hunt or treasure hunt that I got to go chasing God for because he hides it in secret places. Well, if Christ is in me, then wisdom's in me. And if he's given me all things that pertain to life and godliness, then there's nothing that I need, which the scripture says, that I lack. So why are we treating it like it's a stranger? So Jesus is not this long time ago, far away, there, sometime, got to get on his schedule, maybe not, maybe there. So I want to wrap up. I don't want to go too much deeper, but I do want to take us to one place. And then we're going to come back to this next week. I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Let me know when you're there. Starting at verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. That sound like a stranger? That sound like somebody who's trying to keep something from you? Wait a minute. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. Okay. Let's name some, shall we? Yeah, this is an audience participation part. Let's name some. And if you're there online, just name some to yourself. I won't hear you, but go ahead and think of what you consider a spiritual blessing that you would require or desire. Give me some. Come on. Honestly, from your heart, what do you really want from God? Spiritual blessing that you really seek. Go ahead, Cheryl. You got something. Be raw. Don't try to get spiritual. I don't want nobody to get spiritual. Come straight from it. Complete confidence. I like that. That's good. That's a good one. I like that. How many of you agree with that one? That's a good one. Give me some more. Come on. Something you don't pray to God for nothing? You have no desires? You're some lying. Go ahead, Nelly. Be focused and not easily distracted. I like that. That's good. What you got, Rhonda? Clear direction. That's a good blessing to want to have. Mike? To be discerning of spirit, right? To know what God is telling you to do and what not to do, to know when to move, to know when to stop. Good word. What you got?
Clean heart.
A clean heart. You see this stuff? I love this. Come on, give me some more stuff. No? That's it?
A spirit of faith.
A spirit of faith. See? That's why you my girl, Ruth. A spirit of like, I want to just believe. If God tell me I can do it, I just don't want to question it. I just want to believe it. Just believe it. Just no questions. Amen? Those are some good ones. If anybody got another one? Okay. Let's see. Praise be to God our Father who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So all the stuff you just said you want, this just said you got. He just said every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that means everything you're named, you already have. He blessed you with it. Now, you may not have it in your hand because you never received it or claimed it or accepted that it was yours because the Lord's been a stranger. It's yours. I've come to this realization. Oh, some people are not going to like this. But here it is. In my ignorance or stupidity, I will say me. So this way, even though I am talking to you and everybody online, you won't be too offended. When I keep praying for things that God has already done, he tends to ignore me. Think about your child. You put food on the table. Mommy, I'm hungry. Food's right there. I'm hungry. Food's right there. I'm hungry. Food's right there. I'm hungry. You can walk out the room. Okay, you stupid. I might reach over. Bah! If you're that kind of parent, my mama would take the spoon, pop me. But I ain't going to keep having this stupid conversation. Food's right there. Are you going to have this conversation? Or we want to see God. We see God as a good parent. I bless you with every spiritual blessing. Lord, if I could just find a way to just be strong. Like, yeah, the spirit that I put in you. Why don't you use it? Lord, if I could just have more faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Why don't you hear some more word? There it is right there. There it is, the word. Yeah, I gave it right there. What you need? Well, I just need to know your fullness. Okay, well, the fullness of the Lord is in accepting Christ. So what else you want? He can't do what he's already done over.
Right.
How many of you say people keep praying for salvation? Right, because you know better. It's dumb. It's dumb. It's idiotic. You see what I'm saying? So praying for your needs and all these other things that you keep doing over and over again is just as dumb. I know that's a little tough for your minds to grab. But it's just as dumb as you say it every day, Jesus, I want to be saved. Jesus, I want you to be my savior. Ha. Be my Lord. Ha. Guide my path. All of that falls in the same boat. Provide for me. Like, I've given you your provision. I've given you all things that pertain to life and God. It's here. Why don't you claim it? Why don't you begin to live like, act like, walk like, and talk like what I said is true and stop treating me like a stranger and calling me a liar? In front of the world. So now the world calls daddy a liar because of the way the church acts. And the Lord calls daddy a myth because of the way we act. Because there's no demonstration in our lives that God that we serve is real. And how do we expect them to lay hold of it when you don't even lay hold of it? Or I? Bringing it home. This is it. One more time. Praise be to the God of our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who has blessed, not who will, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love, predestined us for adoption and sonship. God already had this plan. He's not a stranger. He's not distant. He's not waiting on you to call to move. Oh, that messed up some church folk. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want, as if he don't know. He's here. He's given you all things that pertain to life and God. There's nothing that you need in him that doesn't exist already in your life. I'm going to say it one more time. There's nothing that you need in him that is not already there and done and ready. Nothing. Now, some of you are going to hear me today, and some of you are not. Ain't going to change my pocketbook 1 cent, because I believe. And I know that my God wants me blessed more than I want to be blessed. And I know that he was wounded for my transgressions. So I don't have to worry about my transgressions. He took them. Even if you still have them, he took them. Even if you're still wrestling with them, he took them. Are you listening to me? He took them. He took them. If you're still struggling with it, he still took them. You're struggling with it because you don't know he took them. Give them back. But I still struggle. Just keep speaking the life over it and it'll change. Those of you out there still messing up while you're in the shower after you finish, keep confessing you're still free. She said, good night. Listen. That's how I got free. Start speaking it. Start saying that you've given me this. I have righteousness in me. I have holiness in me. I have a godly walk in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God works in me both to will and to do his good pleasure. Speak it instead of saying, oh, I'm just so sinful and I'm so dirty and I'm so wrong and I just broke and I can't pay my bills and I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, what are you giving him to work with? You speak in your own death. And the scripture says life and death is in the power of your tongue. And those who indulge it shall eat the fruit thereof. God cannot change his law. You're speaking death, and then you're asking God to bless it. And the stupidest thing is when they say, well, God put that on you for a reason. Well, if God put it on you for a reason, then don't pray. It's a stupid thing. If you believe God gave you the disease, why would you pray for him for healing if he gave it to you? You just call God double-minded in all his ways. Either he's a healer or he's a disease giver. He can't be both. Either he's a provider or he's a deceiver and destroyer. He can't be both. Can a fountain give both sweet and bitter water? He says that. Either he's a good God or he's not. Either he's a provider or he's not. Even though he take care of you or he doesn't. Even he's giving you all wisdom or he has not. I choose to believe he is what his word says he is. I choose to believe that he's not a stranger and he's not far off and have to go chasing and seeking him. But it comes to pass that he said, if you ask, if I see, if I knock, he will, he does, he has, and he will continue to answer to every thought that comes to my heart, especially the ones that I allow him to give me.
Amen. Amen. We're going to wrap this up. I hope you were encouraged. Say, I am
seed of
God.
He lives in me.
I live in him.
We're not strangers.
I call.
He answers.
I speak.
He hears.
His angels
hearken
to his word
to perform
it.
So from this day forward,
I watch my words.
In Jesus.